sisters and brothers in Christ of the Western North Dakota Synod, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Welcome to the maiden voyage of Unexpected Surprises, the podcast of the Western North Dakota Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It's our hope that this podcast will be an opportunity for us to hear stories and voices from folks across the Synod about God's activity on the prairies of North Dakota. In this first first episode of the podcast, we hear from Pastor John Halverson, Executive Director of Metagoshi Ministries near Bottineau. I hope you enjoy. Sisters and brothers in Christ across the Western North Dakota Synod, grace and peace to you. Welcome to another episode of the Synod's podcast. My guest today is Pastor John Halverson, who's the Camp Director, Executive Director of Metagoshi Ministries, the Metagoshi Retreat Center and such up in north of Bottineau in our Synod, a great gift of one of our outdoor ministry sites in the Synod. Pastor John, welcome, first of all, and tell us a little bit about who you are. Where's hometown or growing up kind of thing, and how long have you been up here, yada, yada, yada. So
yeah, thanks for the invitation to join you today, Bishop Craig. This is, I guess our family does consider that we're home here in the amazing Turtle Mountains in the north of North Dakota. I was a bit of a nomad in my childhood. My dad worked a government job and moved around a lot. So I was born in California, where I lived for 3 years, lived in Provo, Utah. We moved to Fergus Falls for 3 years in Minnesota, out to Rapid City, South Dakota for 3 years. And by the time I was in fourth grade, we ended up back in Fergus Falls, which is where I graduated from high school.
Okay.
Just before I was born, my folks spent a year in Garrison right here in our Western North Dakota Synod as well. So I was still in utero, so I don't have much memory of
that. How many schools did you go to from starting school to graduation? You were in what, 5 different schools?
Yeah. Yep. That sounds about right. Fergus, Rapid City. It would have been 3.
Oh, because you came back to Fergus.
We started in Fergus, and that was when I went into preschool and kindergarten age. So have experience of moving around a lot, and that kind of continued into my early life. After graduating from college, I did youth ministry in Wilmer, Minnesota for 3 years, and then my wife Laura and I spent 2 years with the U.S. Peace Corps in Central America, and then I headed off to seminary. That Peace Corps experience is kind of what pushed me
into seminary. Where were you in Central America then?
We were in Nicaragua. Okay. Northern part of Nicaragua. Okay. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time in Salvador, so that's why I always have to ask.
Right.
Yeah.
Came back and was in seminary, and my first call into parish ministry was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where I was called to kind of an urban two-point parish. Okay. I served Augustana Lutheran half-time and half-time developing the community of Pueblo de Dios. And then we moved here in 2012. January of 2012 is when I was called to serve here at Metagoshi Ministries, and we've been here 10 and a half years now. So this is truly the longest I've lived anywhere in my life, and probably the most settled and at home and into a community.
You feel that?
So, yeah.
That connection to the community in ways that you haven't felt before in other places. Wow, that's very cool. Where did, in seminary, was Luther or?
I was in Chicago at LSTC.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep. I think I knew that. I just assume that people are either from Luther or Wartburg.
that takes care of a large chunk of folks. Yeah, for me, and it really was, it grew out of that time in Central America. LSDC has an amazing Hispanic Latino Ministries program. And at the time, and I think it still continues to this day, there was also an environmental ministries emphasis, which I was a part of there, worked with kind of my mentor in that was David Rhodes. And a website called The Web of Creation was my job throughout our time there.
Oh, really? So, well, yeah. And isn't Laura, isn't your spouse, like, she's like the master gardener up here?
She is. Yeah. So, yeah. She's one of the things when we moved in here, we had heard there were like that camp food could maybe take a step up. And Laura is indeed a master gardener. And we now have about a quarter acre camp garden that includes usually 30 different vegetables. And wow. I think she's got a half dozen different berries and fruit trees. And and all of it goes into we combine it, the camp garden as much as possible goes into the camp kitchen. The late season produce then also comes over here to the retreat center, and we partner very closely in particular with the Botno Food Pantry, and sometimes over in the neighboring communities a lot of produce goes there.
So where did your call develop, in the sense of, I hear a lot of mission developer, missional kind of components to who you are as your call. Where did that lead you into outdoor ministry? Because there's got to be several similarities to it, but also just vastly different too.
Yeah. I think the similarities would come into community building, and in particular on the summer camp end of things.
Yep.
Each year we bring together, or we try to bring together, about 50 young women and men to form our camp staff, and that intentional living for the entire summer is like building a new faith community every single year.
Yep.
And so that's kind of where I think a lot of the overlap would be. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest and maybe one of the hardest transition pieces for me as someone with a pastoral role, congregational ministry, of course, is typically built on long-term relationships that are nurtured day after day and week after week and year after year. Mm-hmm. And we get a little bit of that with campers who then come back as staff.
Right.
And then who may continue on. I think we have three or four of our year-round staff now who have gone through that phase. But for the most part, you see campers for 1 week out of the year, and then you'll maybe see them two or three times. So it's a very different way of building relationships. I think still when we're at our best, we're doing it rooted in mission and ministry and outreach into the world. But it looks.
Well, and when I think of Metagoshi too, I think of two very distinct components of what you're talking about in the missional piece. One is the summer camper kind of component. You put the communal group of leaders together that help lead those campers through the summer. But the other part is the year-round camping piece in the retreat center that we're sitting in now, and which is a whole different animal, you know, from the quilters and things like that to pastors coming up for retreats, or businesses using the facility now for conferences and special events and things. I mean, those are two very different.
Yeah. Yes.
Very different things.
Very different things. And I think even within the context of our retreat ministry, one of the pieces that has been most life-giving for me, but also different from any of the other camps and outdoor ministries I've been a part of at different points in my life, is although we are two independently organized nonprofits, to use that language, we share space every day of every week of every year with Metagoshi Lutheran Church.
Yeah.
And so there's a different all year round, whether it's summer camp or our retreat ministry, there's this deep community connection that I haven't always experienced in other places and other camps and outdoor ministries.
But I think that's a testament to you and Pastor Cole Bentley, who's the pastor for Metagoshi Lutheran, in the way in which you engage the community, in the way in which you lift this up and go, hey, no, this is God blessing this. So let's live into this, and let's not be afraid to listen to what God might be calling it into, you know. And that means opportunity for trying things that other places can't try. You know, don't have the ability to do.
Yeah, it is a huge piece of the vitality, I think, of both ministries, both church and camp. Yeah. It really does bring a sense of possibility and newness into just about every situation.
Is there a seasonal structure? I know you're a big snow skier, but is there a seasonal structure to the ministry where you look forward to it each year more so than others? I mean, is there like a time of year when you're like, hey, I'm going, this is all in. There's some cool retreats coming up, or the nights of Christmas, or, or summer camp, or whatever.
There is definitely a flow, and you know, it's interesting. We've just finished a pretty major expansion to our retreat center, and finished that in the context of the COVID pandemic that we continue to live through, and so. I think if I'm being really honest, I've forgotten a little bit of our flow, quite honestly, because
it was so disrupted.
It was so disrupted. And quite frankly, the 2 years before the pandemic, I spent 70 to 80% of my time on the road, in churches and meeting with donors
during Capital Campaign.
I was in Capital Campaign mode. And so our program director, our retreat director, the campaign associate director, they were the ones who were on site, making sure that wonderful flow, was continuing to go smoothly. Mm-hmm. But really, yes. I mean, the right now is one of the most fun times of the year. We're 3 weeks out from starting our summer camp staff training. And again, it's that thought of, all right, how are we going to build this community? You know, there are things you can kind of count on from year to year, but every year there are these little differences in personalities or things that the community's excited about or that they don't do as well.
And so, my understanding is that if somebody's looking for a summertime job, the opportunity is available to them yet.
That is very true. This year has been for many of our camps, and Metagoshi is definitely one of them.
Yep.
We would love to hire another 10. Wow. We would hire up to 20 to 22 even if that many came. But it's typically this is about when we're wrapping up. Our recruiting, and we have a fair bit of work. Katie, our program director, I think in the last 3 or 4 days has done 6 or 7 interviews. We have another 4 or 5 coming up. So the pace is picking up, that's again, it's,
but that's a challenge coming out of COVID and out of everything that we've experienced in the world, but also the church has experienced that too and is trying to figure out what its identity is after that.
Yes.
You're seeing that in the outdoor ministry's vein of staffing and retreats being different and structures and rhythms being different. And
And I think the, just the, for maybe lack of a better term, the headspace that people are in. And for us in particular, it's college aged folks. There's just been so much has been disrupted that it's not only us who are trying to figure out how do we continue to hire staff. It's the staff who have been returning staff year after year who there's a little bit more hesitancy, I think. There's a, for lack, again, lack of a better term, commitment hesitancy, I think.
Interesting. And we trust that the Spirit will speak to that. So how does that bring forth opportunity, though, in what you are doing up here in the many facets that Metagoshi Ministries encompasses? What are some of the things that you're excited about coming up or looking forward to? Retreat center's ready to go. Camp is rocking and ready to go. The updates to the retreat center here, folks, is absolutely spectacular. If you're ever in the area, stop by and they will have a cup of coffee waiting for you and give you a good tour. Gary's Place is a piece that's part of who, I mean, what are some of the,
amazing. The easiest piece to really get excited about is it feels like, at least coming out of pandemic mode for the most part, we opened this beautiful new space right as COVID was really settling in.
Yeah.
And we had to kind of set all of our excitement for expanded ministry-based retreats, as well as expanded just community organization service. Part of our hope and our goals was really to listen to community partners alongside also the churches who own us. And to be able to better serve all of those different groups. And we've done that a little bit, but we've had to move really slowly as people were hesitant to come out. And as we were hesitant to host larger groups, as we wanted to keep people more spaced apart.
Yep, yep.
But in and amongst all of that, we really kind of had to set our marketing and PR plan to the side. And okay. So we're getting ready now, to kind of review it, look yep. at it again, and then really, really jump out. I think one of the most exciting silver linings, yeah. From our retreat ministry, at least during the pandemic, we've been nurturing a neat relationship, with the Minot Air Force Base and the chaplaincy department there for 6 or 7 years. Yeah. And they use us really well. But during the pandemic, we were kind of the only place. They were limited with, I don't even remember, 90 or 100 mile radius that they could travel away from the base. Wow. And we were kind of the high comfort place that they could get away to for the year of the pandemic. And so I think we had somewhere between 12 and 15 groups just last year from the chaplaincies who came and spent time with us. So to see that, kind of expression of faith-based groups,
yeah.
Get to know us deeply has been a neat yeah. silver lining.
Yeah. Yeah. And talk about a unique way in which the church, the ministry within these unique ministries like outdoor ministries and retreat ministries and stuff can kind of adapt and go, hey, no, this is a way in which we can engage a community that is unique and we haven't done before, you know, in the ways that we're able to. And so that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Cool.
Yeah, and I think then on the camp end of things, yeah. I'm thankful all four of our camps in Western North Dakota Synod were able to remain open and yep. to be places where youth and families could get away to, even both 2020 and 2021. Yep. All of our camps were able to operate, yep. you know, less weeks and reduced capacity, but in the midst of that, being reminded of the importance.
Yeah.
Of camp,
yeah.
Was huge. And
were
just
you a camp kid?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, I grew up mostly at Luther Crest, okay. Outside of Alexandria.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's amazing the number of leaders in the church, whether it's serving on church council or working on lay staff, or pastors and deacons that have some sort of camp spark in their background. You know, camp connection. Whether they were a counselor or just attended camp, you know, and hung out at camp. And I think it's, and I mean, I've been a tremendous advocate and positive voice, I think, all along as I've served in the Synod, both previous to this office and now, that, I mean, we're just very unique. There aren't many synods with 4 Bible camps, if any.
Right.
I don't know of any right. others.
No, there may be a few, but for a synod like ours to yeah. have these 4 vibrant communities in 4 super distinct geographies as well, it's just so much fun. I love visiting
it's
each and every
so
space.
Unique. It's yeah. so unique and so incredible. And yeah, I agree 100%. And they're just, they have embraced, like you all are doing in the retreat center or the camp ministry or some of your outreach ministries, like up into Turtle Mountain, into the reservation, the Ojibwa week,
yeah.
right? Is that
yeah.
that's what it's called?
Yep.
I mean, some of that stuff is just, it is so blessed and such a Holy Spirit thing happening, that wouldn't be possible without our Bible camps in those areas. So, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Have a fun summer.
We are looking forward to it. It's going to be beautiful. I think winter is finally loosening its grip. We still, what is it today? It's May 3rd.
Yeah, let's
and
hope.
we still have some big piles of snow sitting around
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
so
let's hope that the worst of it is over by
indeed,
now.
Indeed.
Pastor John, if you want to, thanks for being with us today and thanks for being part of this as we are experimenting with these podcasts and hoping to help spread a little bit of what Jesus and what God is up to, how the Holy Spirit is blessing places across the Synod. And so I appreciate your presence with us today and for all you do for the church as well. You're a gift. Can you pray for us as we close? Would you be willing to do that?
I would love to.
Okay, thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the people and places of our Western North Dakota Synod, varied in geography, but united in purpose, called to the foot of the cross. Jesus, we give you thanks for your life, your death, your resurrection. there are infinite ways that your forgiveness and salvation gets lived out in our synod. So thankful for each of the ministries and the ways that that we're called to follow you, to serve you, and to serve your people in the world. Pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to guide our communities, guide our partner ministries, and in particular, lift up a prayer today for Bishop Craig and our synod staff. Guide them, watch over them, encourage them, give them energy for what are, we all know, often long and busy and filled days. God, as we move forward into this year, send your Spirit always to guide us. When we fall short, lift us up. Turn us back to you and set us on the path again. This and all good things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us in this episode of Unexpected Surprises, the podcast of the Western North Dakota Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It was great to have Pastor John with us from Metegoshi Ministries this day, and we give God thanks and praise for all of our outdoor ministry sites across the Synod and around the church, especially as they enter into and begin a busy summer camping season. Our prayers and our gifts are with them in this time. The podcast of our Synod is supported by a special grant from the Mission Endowment Fund of the Western North Dakota Synod. We give them thanks. And until the next episode of Unexpected Surprises, may God's grace and peace be with you always.